Are you ready to have your heart ignited afresh for God and the things of God? You're listening to the right program at the right time on the right day.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown, thanks for sharing this special time with me. As you're listening to the show, I am coming back from Israel, but the last thing I did before turning in on my last night in Israel was record this special broadcast. Obviously, I won't be taking calls. If you call, I won't be there to talk with you, but let's pray and believe that something significant will be deposited in your life today. I want to share some examples of men and women who have stood up for what is right. Some have known the Lord, some have just done it out of conviction and personal integrity. I want to talk to you about these things today. So open your heart wide, call a friend, encourage them to listen, and share your thoughts and comments with me. I'd love to hear from you. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on The Line of Fire. If you're on Facebook also, you can visit me on my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And yesterday, I posted a picture that was taken at the Wailing Wall. Christians call this the Wailing Wall. Jews will just call it the wall, the Kotel in Hebrew. Some will refer to it as the Western Wall. It's a sacred place in Jewish tradition. And really, when you get there, you realize the sacredness of the place, because not far from there, the temple once stood. And God visited that place with fire. I mean, holy fire. And God visited that place with his presence. And Jesus, Yeshua, walked there and performed miracles there. And it was in that general area that the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, the ancient feast of weeks, of Shavuot. And there's something about a place where prayers have gone up to God from broken hearts seeking the face of God. And as I was praying, a colleague took a picture of me. I wasn't aware that a picture was being taken. He sent it to me, and I posted it on Facebook. And I was just leaning on the wall and asking God for things, pouring out my heart to God. It's personal, obviously, what I was praying for. But I want to say this. I want to say this with all the clarity and sobriety I can muster. We only have one life. We only have one opportunity to pay back our debt of gratitude to God. The old poem by C.T. Studd with the refrain, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last." It was not just a little poem written by a devoted missionary, but a word that reminds us once again to search our hearts, to look at our lives, and to ask us, and for each of us to ask ourselves, what am I living for? As Leonard Ravenhill used to ask, are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? And friends, I'm sure, I'm 1,000,000% sure that none of us will stand before God on that day and look at his glory and his beauty and his power and look at what he has promised us for eternity and look at what he has spared us from in eternity. None of us will look at him then and say, oh, I was too devoted. I was too dedicated. I was too on fire. I was too passionate. I could have watched more TV. I could have caught more sports. I could have spent more time surfing the net. Why did I have to spend so much time with the Lord in prayer? Why did I have to be so devoted to his word? Why did I have to be so committed to righteousness? Why did I have to go against the grain to win the loss and stand up for what's right? Oh no. None of us will say that on that day, but I wonder how many of us will say, oh, I wish I'd lived in the light of eternity. I wish I'd made decisions that made sense in this world in the light of eternity. I wish I'd been more devoted. I wish I'd not wasted so much time. I wish I'd taken the opportunity I had in this world, in a sinful, fallen world, to show the Lord how deeply I love him and how indebted I was to him and to make a difference among lost and hurting people. The good news, friends, is it is not too late. And if we're determined to give ourselves to God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, he will use us. Friends, it's my heart's prayer that the broadcast today will stir your heart, will ignite your heart. Let's go for it while we have breath. Together we can make a difference with the Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to a very special broadcast on The Line of Fire. In fact, can I just ask you to say a prayer for me as you're listening? I am right now flying back from Israel as you're listening to this broadcast. I've been live from Israel for several days now, and this is a transit day, so obviously can't be broadcasting from there, at least not at this point. Maybe the day will come when we can broadcast from a jet 35,000 feet in the air. But right now, can't do that. So I specially prepared this broadcast. I've had it on my heart for a few days to do this. And if you could just pray for strength and grace for me as I'm traveling, I get back and then fly, instead of going back to Charlotte, fly into Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where tomorrow we'll be coming your way live from Florida before I do a Jewish outreach lecture. So pray for grace and strength for a fruitful trip. It's not about me. This is so I can serve better and be ready to do everything God's called me to do and be a blessing to each of you and to the Jewish folks in Florida that we want to reach on Thursday night. And then Friday back to Charlotte, God willing, where we start our missions conference Friday night. And we've got some special interviews with our missionaries who are going to be in town from different countries. We're going to have more missionaries on the air with us this coming week than we've ever had before. I think you will be blessed and encouraged. In fact, I'm confident you will be. So I'm not taking any phone calls today, but I'd welcome your comments at askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. In a little while, I want to tell you a moving story about a Vietnamese man. I'd not heard of him before. I read his story and I was stirred. Before I get into that, as I'm encouraging today on the broadcast to make a difference, to live for God, often the little decisions are the big ones. Often it's the little decisions we make for purity, for doing the right thing, for walking in integrity, for walking in honor, for reaching someone who's in need. Often it's the little decisions we make that have a massive impact. And there is a woman who made a decision recently, and it might cost her job. The story is unfolding this week, and perhaps this will be a great example of what happens when you stand for what's right, and there's an outcry in society. But I wrote an article. You can still read it on charismanews.com. Just click on opinion, and it's called "The Diversity Police Strike Again." In this article, I explain that in the upside-down gay activist lexicon, tolerance means intolerance, inclusivity means exclusivity, and diversity means basically my way or the highway. And Angela McCaskill, Associate Provost of Diversity and Inclusion at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., is the latest victim of the diversity police. She has been placed on administrative leave after working at the university for 23 years. She assumed her current position as the university's first chief diversity officer in January 2011. If you're talking about diversity, think of this. She's a woman. She's an African-American woman. She is a deaf African-American woman. What a great person in terms of reaching different groups of people in society. That she fits this bill as someone that can serve as a diversity officer just based on her background. And she was the first deaf African-American woman to earn a PhD from Gallaudet, which is, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, so if I'm mispronouncing it, please forgive me. But this is hailed as the nation's premier school for the deaf. But as of a couple of days ago, she was so shaken by being placed on administrative leave after 23 years service there that she, according to her husband, was under doctor's care. So what did she do? What did she do that got her in such hot water? Well, as a private citizen, as a resident of Maryland, she was leaving a church service one night with her husband. The pastor of her church had preached against redefining marriage. There is a vote that's going to be taking place in just a few weeks in Maryland on whether marriage should be redefined or whether it should be kept as a man marrying a woman as opposed to a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. So her husband pointed out the petition as they were leaving the service, and she signed it. That's it. Just a little thing. just a little stance for what's right. And you know what happened to her? Almost 3 months later, a faculty member became aware of this and issued a complaint to the university, and she was immediately relieved of her responsibilities. According to Planet Deaf Queer, on November 6th, Maryland voters will decide whether the Civil Marriage Protection Act, which was enacted by the Maryland legislature, and grants lesbian and gay couples the equal right to marry, is upheld or rejected. Well, there are many that support overturning this important civil rights legislation. One person, planetdeafqueer.com, says you would never expect to be in favor of doing so, is Gallaudet University's own chief diversity officer and Maryland resident, Dr. Angela McCaskill, noting that her job at Gallaudet is to promote diversity and inclusion. Oh, hang on one second. Can she not promote diversity and inclusion without saying that marriage has to be redefined? Can't she be a friend of all students and concerned about the rights of all students without believing that marriage has to be redefined? In fact, I went to the website, it's quite extensive, about the Office for Diversity and Inclusion. I read the mission statement, I read through the website, I did searches on the site in case I was missing anything for words homosexual or gay or lesbian. I didn't find that mentioned. Quote, the mission of the Office for Diversity and Inclusion at Gallaudet University is to promote an academically enriching and supportive climate that allows all the diverse members of its community to thrive and succeed. Through the cultivation of diversity, the Office for Diversity and Inclusion will lead efforts to institutionalize diversity as a fundamental transformative force that fosters professional growth and academic excellence. Why is the person who is the chief officer for that department required to believe that marriage has to be redefined? Please tell me how that connects. So I ask in this article, again, you can read it on charismanews.com, the diversity police strike again. Can someone fulfill this role without believing that marriage should be radically redefined? Is it possible for the chief diversity officer to promote an academically enriching and supportive climate that allows all the diverse members of its community to thrive and succeed without believing that a man should be able to marry a man and a woman marry a woman? The answer is obviously yes. Even planetdeafqueer.com noted that, quote, McCaskill is well-liked by students. One student said she's been a great ally to the LGBT community and supported many of the LGBTQA, I guess that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and allies, resource centers program, said one student who asked to remain anonymous. I'm heartbroken about this, the student said. So, no, but you can be a friend of the LGBT community without believing that marriage should be redefined. But there's a more fundamental question to ask. What happened to diversity and inclusion? What happened to Dr. McCaskill's constitutional rights and freedoms? Before diversity and inclusion became gay activist code words, they actually used to mean what they meant. Oh, quite an idea, huh? Diversity and inclusion referred to the welcoming of diverse viewpoints and ideologies and peoples. Now, however, in classic doublespeak, they mean the opposite of their original definition and in the name of tolerance at that. And I share in the article that back in 2009, June of 2009, Focus on the Family asked me to if I could get to Michigan a little early before a Love One Out conference that helps folks dealing with unwanted same-sex attractions and helps families deal with these issues and minister in love and compassion. Could I get there a little early because Grand State Valley University, which is a publicly funded institution, was going to host an event countering Love One Out. Hang on. Love One Out is going to be taking place at a church. Why does the university counter that? Well, someone was going to give a radically anti-conservative, Christian, anti-biblical presentation followed by a panel discussion with five different people weighing in on the subject, and nobody was going to be representing our side or the side that people can change or there's a better way. So with the help of Focus on the Family and our radio show and mailing list, we were able to get 10,000 people to email the university saying, just include one person, include Dr. Michael Brown as one in five on the panel. And this follows the negative presentation on top of it, so it's going to be totally weighted the other way. Just allow him on, one person. No, the university said no. Oh, specifically, the Department of Inclusion and Diversity said no. Aha, exactly. Inclusion means exclusion. Diversity means my way or the highway. Tolerance means intolerance. Now, I showed up anyway, Focus on the Family asked me to. I asked some questions on the end. It got a little bit heated towards us at the end. But friends, I don't know what's going to happen with Dr. McCaskill's case. I pray and hope that she'll just stand up for what's right and say, I can vote to maintain marriage as it is while fulfilling my duty. But here's the issue. It's going to cost you something to stand up for what's right. Something. It costs our brothers and sisters often their lives around the world. Perhaps we can be willing to just stand for what's right and take the little opposition that comes our way here in America so that we don't have to hang our head in shame on that day and say, Lord, I was ashamed to confess you and do what was right. Hey, I will be back with much more. Stay right here.
God of light, hear our cry.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here, your voice of moral sanity and sanity in chaos in a church all too often in compromise. I won't be taking calls, but this is a really important broadcast. My heart's burning with things I want to share with each of you. And right now, I'm flying back from Israel as I'm speaking to you. I especially prepared this broadcast just a few hours before flying out. Last thing I did before turning in for the night, getting a few hours sleep, getting on the plane. So sit back. Take in these truths. I believe you'll be encouraged to stand for righteousness and honor the Lord with your life all the more in these coming days. Please share your thoughts on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. And if you're not on my Facebook page and you're on Facebook, please go there, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Like that page and check out a picture. I didn't know it was taken of me, but I was at the Wailing Wall praying, pouring out my heart to God a couple days ago, and something very sacred about this picture seems moving to others, so check it out as you have the opportunity. I was looking on townhall.com where I write articles normally at least once a week, once or twice a week. It's a conservative political website, but I'm allowed to express my faith views clearly there. There was an article by Jeff Jacoby, who was a conservative columnist with the Boston Globe, which is saying something in and of itself, one of the rare conservative columnists there. And he was writing about a Vietnamese dissident who had recently died just a few days ago. I was not familiar with this man. His name is spelled N-G-U-Y-E-N-C-H-I-T-H-I-E-N. An obituary of him in the New York Times says his poem spoke truth to power from a cell. He just died at the age of 73. What happened was he was asked to substitute as a teacher in class. And as the New York Times reports, his odyssey, Mr. Tien's, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Mr. Tien's odyssey began on an otherwise ordinary day in 1960, after he had attempted to correct a piece of the communist revisionist history before a class of high school students. Something had been stated in the class. It was false. He corrected it. Next thing, he gets jailed. And over the next couple of decades, he suffers years in solitary confinement. And he was sick to start. His lungs were kind of paper thin, so he was going to suffer more than your ordinary prisoner. He got out of prison. The greatest agony he had, he explained, was he couldn't write. He couldn't get to books, and he couldn't write anything down. So he was tortured. He was in solitary confinement, but this was what was the toughest thing of all. So he began to compose these poems. And I understand in Vietnamese literature that history can even be written in poetry. So the poets can have a very important voice, kind of a prophetic voice in the society. He got out of prison after writing hundreds and hundreds of poems, which he memorized and organized in his brain in the midst of solitary confinement and torture and imprisonment. He got them written out, just wrote continually, just pouring out everything that he had remembered. And he was able to evade guards and to get to the British Embassy, where he delivered his book of poems and was immediately arrested again. His best known work is called Flowers from Hell, published in the States in 1984 in English. And here's what's so significant. He gets out of prison, and what does he do? He delivers poems that talk about the suffering of his people and the reality of prison and the wrongness and the hardship and the evil of the regime, knowing he's going to go right back to prison and it's going to be worse for him. And through much of his imprisonment, according to the stories I've read, all he had to do was sign a confession renouncing his position. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in a situation, torture, solitary confinement, starvation diet, being on the edge of death for years, all kinds of terrible deprivation, and it can end in a moment if you just recant your position? And his was just a political and ideological position, but he couldn't. That's what you call integrity. That's what you call having character. That's what you call having conviction. And I read about him and I thought, how many of us cave in? We compromise. We water down our convictions. How many of us preaching behind the pulpit? How many of us teaching over the radio? How many of us speaking for God in TV? I'm talking to fellow leaders in particular now. And then how many political leaders who profess to be followers of Jesus? And how many of us just in our everyday lives, how many of us compromise because it's going to make things a little bit easier? Don't quite tell the truth. Oh, I don't mean go out of our way to be a troublemaker. Quite the contrary. Water things down and don't tell the truth because it makes things a little bit easier. Or people will like us instead of speaking the truth in love. Here's something that he wrote in prison camp in 1970, of course, memorized, and then wrote later. My poetry is not mere poetry, no, but it's the sound of sobbing from a life, the din of doors in a dark jail, the wheeze of two poor wasted lungs, the thud of earth tossed to bury dreams, the clash of teeth all chattering from cold, the cry of hunger from a stomach wrenching wild, the helpless voice before so many wrecks, all sounds of life half lived, of death half died. No poetry, no. That's what he suffered, and yet he would not compromise his conviction. He would not sign a piece of paper and recant, because that would not be true. Oh boy, a challenge. I've got a half hour more. We're going to talk about some other people, church leaders and others from the past whose lives will challenge you. If you can't listen the next half hour, go online, get this. In fact, better still, here's what I'm doing. For your gift of $20 today, I'm sending you a copy of this radio broadcast, this very special word of exhortation and encouragement, and my two books published in one, Whatever Happened to the Power of God and It's Time to Rock the Boat. I've just felt in recent weeks I've got to get these books into your hands. They will talk about integrity and conviction. They will give examples of people who would not back down no matter what. They will give examples of people who redeemed the time to their last drop of blood. They will give examples of people who went out and were world changers. Call this number right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore for this special resource offer. That's two books in one. Purchased separately would be almost $40. Two books in one, plus today's radio broadcast, $20 postage paid. As many of you as could stand with me, let's stand together on the front lines of a Jesus revolution. It is time.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You are listening to a very special broadcast on the line of fire. The things you hear in the next 30 minutes might just change your life forever. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you today on the broadcast. I cannot take your calls because I have specially prepared this broadcast for you. Right before leaving from Israel back to the States, recorded this broadcast, and I'm now in flight as you're listening, so I can't take your calls, but I'd love to hear your thoughts or comments on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Also, if you're on Facebook, please go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Like that page, and there's a picture, kind of a sacred shot that was taken. I was not aware it was being taken while I was at the Wailing Wall, just pouring my heart out to God a few days back, and somehow the picture seems to be moving and stirring to others. So visit there, and of course you can add your comments. My subject today, what's on my heart today, is really simple. It's a call to courage. It's a call to conviction. It's a call to stand. In 1991, I was deeply moved by thoughts of God's holiness. I was deeply moved by concerns in terms of much of what was happening in the church. And to be candid, as a charismatic, some of you are, some of you not, but we're all in the same family and body in Jesus. But as one who travels widely in charismatic circles, I was concerned about a lot of the superficiality I saw there as well. A lot of talk about the power of the Spirit without the reality of the power of the Spirit. And of course, many of you non-charismatics share that same concern in your own circles. But I wrote a book called Whatever Happened to the Power of God. In fact, the subtitle was, Is the Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count? A kind of cutesy subtitle, but a very, very serious book. I remember reading chapters in Leviticus about the holiness of God. And as I read these chapters, I was just stirred. And the fear of the Lord came upon me. As someone who loves the Lord and knows I'm loved by God, I know the love of the Father. Oh, I'm sure I know a fraction of it, but I'm telling you, I know I'm loved by God. I feel favored by the Lord. I don't live under a cloud of condemnation and guilt, but I fear and honor my God, my Father. Abba is extraordinarily holy, more than our minds could ever conceive. I was reading about his holiness and his power. I was shaken afresh. And one of the chapters I wrote in this book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, is called The Power of Consecration to Principle. And I want to talk to you about that for a moment, because often as we look at people in the world, even wicked people, even people bent on destruction, they are more dedicated to their cause of destruction than we are dedicated to our cause of bringing life and healing and health and hope through the gospel. Spiritual, vibrant health, transformation of life, and God's mercy on a sick and dying world. Often, it's people given to wickedness, people given to sin, who are more devoted to their satanic cause than we are to righteousness. And some of us, before we were saved, we went for it. I mean, we just lived like the devil. I gave myself to drugs. I gave myself to drinking. I gave myself to wickedness. And often in such a foolhardy way that I could have killed myself because of the idiotic way that I was living. And yet we get saved, and then some of us just very careful, very conservative, don't want to rock the boat. Oh, we were all in for the devil, and yet half-hearted for the Lord. We were on fire for sin, and then we're kind of lukewarm for Jesus. Friends, it doesn't make any sense, does it? All right, I've got a lot to share with you. I believe your own hearts will be ignited. In a little while, I want to tell you how you can get hold of today's broadcast on CD, along with Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and another book that'll stir your heart. Friends, I'm here on the radio for one reason only. I want to see a Jesus revolution. That means you and me, changed by God, going out, changing our world.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this specially prepared broadcast on The Line of Fire. I'm speaking to you from Israel, actually. This is being recorded in Israel, but as you're listening to it, I'm flying back from Israel to the States, so I appreciate your prayer support. It's been a very, very full time in Israel. Now, on the way home, but before going back to Charlotte, where our missions conference starts Friday night, our annual missions conference, where our missionaries come in, many of them from around the world, we help raise funds and raise vision for what they're doing and help raise up more missionaries to join them. I'll be stopping in Florida, flying into Florida, and then coming your way live from Florida, God willing, tomorrow before I do a special Jewish outreach lecture. If you're anywhere near the Fort Lauderdale area, please join me Thursday night for a special outreach talk, a Jewish outreach talk. And if you want more info, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and it will be at Diamante's Event Center, 6501 West Commercial Boulevard, Tamara, Florida, and that will be 7 in the evening. I'm talking to you today about consecration to the Lord, consecration to the work of the Lord, not bowing down, not selling out, not backing down, not caving in, not giving way to the pressures of this world or the spirit of the age, but standing up for what's right. In my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, there's a chapter called The Power of Consecration to Principle. In it, I share about something that happened October of 1977 in three prison cells in Germany where a suicide pact was carried out. Three terrorists, leaders of the notorious Baader-Meinhof gang, exchanged secret communications. They were in separate parts of the prison, but somehow managed to communicate and somehow managed to devise suicide devices, ways to kill themselves in their prison cells. They exchanged these secret communications. They agreed to take their own lives at a specified time, and even though there was tight security, they devised these mechanisms for suicide, and suddenly they were gone. The international press reported the news. Maybe some of you remember that, 1977, October. Their deaths were the talk of the hour, but their triple suicide was more than just another grisly story. It was orchestrated to carry a clear message, to broadcast a strong signal to their colleagues who had just suffered defeat in another land. This is what they were saying, these terrorists. We have sealed our mission with our lives. You go and do the same. Take courage and fight to the death. We've given you a beacon of hope. That's what they were saying. And they did all this for the kingdom of hell. Then maybe some of you remember this. I'm 57, so if you're my age or old, you might remember this. There were the self-proclaimed soldiers from the Irish Republic Army, literally starving themselves to death in British prison cells because they believed they had to stand up for, quote, their rights. They wanted to be able to wear a prisoner of war uniforms rather than just regular prison uniforms to say they were soldiers. They literally starved themselves to death, and they withered away to nothing and passed from this world for good. Why? Because they had a vision. They had a dream. They had a goal. And it wasn't a dream given by God. And yet they died for it just the same. Now, was this an example of fanaticism? I don't think so. I don't think so. It was total consecration to a wrong principle. It was complete dedication to a misguided vision. It was the conviction to die for the very things they lived for, even though what they lived for was fatally wrong. So these men and women, so deceived by the enemy and so destroyed by his cunning, did what was only logical. They gave themselves wholly for what was dear to them, their call and their cause. What they did was consistent and clear in a perverted way, in a demonic way, in a destructive way. It even made sense. Here's what I wrote in Whatever Happened to the Power of God. What does not make sense is this. It makes sense in a perverted, wrong way that these people, these Irish Republic Army so-called soldiers, they're terrorists, and the terrorists of the Baader-Meinhof gang, it makes sense because they believed in their cause so deeply that they were willing to die for it. What doesn't make sense is this, that we who call ourselves children of the one true God, we who believe that we've been ransomed from a dark eternity, we who proclaim that we're living at the tail end of this age, we who speak of cosmic warfare between the forces of heaven and hell, we live flabby, undisciplined, unconsecrated, spineless lives. What has become of courage? Where is conviction gone? Where are the heroes of the faith here in America? Brave pioneers and patriots of our day. Where are those driven by a spirit of discovery and advance for the kingdom of our Lord? You know, I think about the early history of our nation. I give some examples of it in this chapter and whatever happened to the power of God. I mean, we had to fight a bloody war of independence. I want to make clear, I'm not calling us to fight a bloody war today. I'm not calling us to take up arms. God forbid you hear me saying, take up arms against enemies of the gospel. Let me say it again. God forbid you hear me say that. Let us put down our swords and take up our crosses. The fact is, following Jesus will bring opposition. Following Jesus will bring persecution. Following Jesus could mean loss of jobs, imprisonment, even loss of life. Just reading a moment ago about hundreds of Iranian Christians who reportedly have been rounded up by the Iranian government, and who knows what's going to happen to them. Iranian police have arrested as many as 400 Christians, thrown them into prison. According to a council member of the Church of Iran House Church Movement, quote, we've learned at least 100, but perhaps as many as 400 people have been detained over the last 10 days. These are attempts to break up house churches. And the report says it has become clear that Protestant Christians are now viewed as enemy number one of the state. Friends, this is happening for those who stand for righteousness. The fathers of our country in America fought for independence, and it was costly. Remember the story of Nathan Hale, daring spy caught behind enemy lines. He hung the next day without trial. His last words are a powerful testimony to what it means to give yourself to a cause. Quote, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. Patrick Henry, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. As I explained in Whatever Happened to the Power of God, this has been the driving force behind martyrs, missionaries, pioneers, and patriots through the ages. The power of consecration to principle and the willingness to sacrifice, strive, suffer, and even die for a cause. Friends, it's something sadly lacking among us today. And if the truth be told, we are spoiled. William Burns, who was greatly used by God in revival in Scotland, about the 1830s, called to be a missionary, gave his life as a missionary in China, served there the rest of his life. This is what he said. Believe me, it is not with folded hands and drowsy consciences and hearts full of the cares of this life, but denying ourselves, taking up the cross, bearing the reproach, and by following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, that we shall enter the kingdom. In my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, missionaries and others, pioneers who gave themselves, men and women, people who may not have been achievers or big shots or superstars in this world, but they simply would not quit and said, my life is going to count. And if it's feeding the poor or preaching the gospel to those who don't know him or standing for what's right or giving sacrificially to help people, it doesn't matter. I'm going to honor God. And they're world changers, friends, and they are our examples. And the Word of God encourages us to learn from those who have gone before us and to follow their example. Friends, this book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, together with It's Time to Rock the Boat, I'm going to share some excerpts from It's Time to Rock the Boat on the other side of the break. These two books together, plus the CD from today's broadcast, just $20, postage paid. I've really had a burden to get these books out to more and more people. I believe you'll be impacted forever as you read them. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore, and you can take advantage of the special resource offer. Again, 1-800-278-9978. Can I be candid with you? I want to go for it. I want to run my race. I'm here in Israel now, about to be traveling back. As you hear this broadcast, I'm traveling back. I'm all the more determined to make my life count. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5 that we need to redeem the time, make the most of every opportunity in this evil age. And Moses prays in Psalm 90, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I hope it's been a very special broadcast. We're talking about the power of consecration to principle. We're talking about an integrity that will not quit, will not bow down, will not cave in, will not capitulate, no matter what the cost, because it has to do what's right. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. I am right now flying back from Israel, so please pray for grace and strength, because there's a busy schedule once I get back to the States with a Jewish outreach tomorrow night in Florida. We'll be coming your way, gobbling live from Florida tomorrow, then back home to Charlotte Friday, coming your way live from Charlotte, and our missions conference starts Friday night, and we've got missionaries, fire missionaries. You've got to hear the broadcast coming your way next week, but pray for grace and strength. And it was my prayer in recording this broadcast, so obviously I'm not taking your calls, that your own hearts would be stirred, that your own hearts would be ignited. And in my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, I have a chapter called Are You Willing to Lose Your Life? And I start with some quotes from Christian leaders, some of the recent past, some from some centuries before, some from the distant past. Evangelical leader Carl F. H. Henry said, the early Christians knew that active faith in the crucified and risen Redeemer requires putting one's body on the line. James B. Taylor in the 1800s said, let no cross be considered too heavy to be borne in following Christ, no loss too great to be sustained for Christ, and no path too holy in going after Christ. Ignatius of Antioch, on his way to be martyred in Rome, 1800 plus centuries ago, said, I am the wheat of God, and am ground by the teeth of the wild beasts, that I may be found the pure bread of God. Here I am, my life for the gospel. We need to go back to examples of men and women in the past, in biblical days and in our day, who said, I'm going to do what's right, regardless of what it costs. If it costs me fame, if it costs me friendships, if it costs me my job, if it costs me a pension, if it costs me a promotion, an education, if it costs me my life, here I am, send me. Now, friends, of all people, we should be peacemakers, not troublemakers. Of all people, we should walk in meekness and in love and sensitivity and gentleness, and compassion. In other words, we're not just trying to stir up trouble. We're not just trying to be obnoxious. We're not some self-righteous people just preaching down to the world, you're all so wicked, we're all so good. No, no, no. We're saying, Jesus, you saved me and you redeemed me, and I have a debt of gratitude to you. And since my life is all I can offer you, here I am. Cause me to make a difference in my household with my spouse and my kids. Cause me to make a difference in the workplace. Cause me to make a difference wherever you send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me out to do your will and to make a difference. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said this, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Oh yes, many have been martyred. And Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. But most of us are not going to face martyrdom. Most of us are not going to have the opportunity to testify for Jesus at the cost of our lives. But all of us can live in the spirit of the martyr who says, I will not bow down to human opinion. I will not bow down to the fear of man. I will not bow down to the fear of my own life. Rather, I will bow down to God and to God alone. I mean, look, for the average American believer, the concept of martyrdom is virtually incomprehensible. Instead of the call to come and die, as I wrote in It's Time to Rock the Boat, we're used to the invitation to come and dine. Yeah, Jesus said this to his disciples. We want to hear that. Let's feast at the master's table. Let's not follow him to the cross. Thomas A. Kempis said this, many follow Jesus unto the breaking of bread, but few to the cup of his passion. I mean, today in place of the old cross, again, as I wrote in It's Time to Rock the Boat, we have not the old cross, but the new cruise. Christianity, and it's not a sin to go on a cruise, but that's the big thing. Go on this fundraising cruise with our ministry, but let's not go to the cross with Jesus. Christianity is primarily associated with earthly satisfaction. The gospel's preached as if it existed for the purpose of personal fulfillment. I mean, why meditate on our future heavenly dwelling when we're so at home here? A worldly mentality, meaning a mentality oriented to this world, rules the day. What we need to recapture is the spirit of the pioneer, the spirit of the courageous soldier for the cross. Oh, not soldier in terms of taking up arms against others, but saying, Lord, my life for the gospel, my life for souls, my life to heal and help hurting, dying people, my life to make a difference. Richard Wurmbrand, tortured for his faith, said these stirring words, extremism should be the norm for a Christian. Every day as we watch the news, we see that sin is exceedingly sinful. It can be defeated only by exceeding love, hope, joy, and self-sacrifice. God himself does not give with measure. Richard Wurmbrand relates a story well known by the Chinese church. After the jailed Chinese Christian, Reverend Fang Chang, has faithfully endured torture, he is brought before the interrogator once again. He notices a heap of rags and chains huddled in a corner. It's his mother. Her hair is turned white, her complexion gray. Chang, deeply shaken, is asked to recite the Ten Commandments and stop when he comes to honor your father and mother. They begin to interrogate him. Tell us what you know about your brethren in faith, and I promise that tonight you and your mother will be free. Come on, honor your father and mother. It's not easy to make a decision. Chang turns to his mother. Mommy, what shall I do? The mother answers, I've taught you from childhood to love Christ and his holy church. Don't mind my suffering. Seek to remain faithful to the Savior and his little brethren. If you betray, you are no more my son. That's the last time he saw his mother, who probably died under torture. But that's a story that inspired the Chinese church. We're going to stand for what's right. Friends, most of us are facing nothing like this. But I exhort you, I encourage you as a fellow believer, a fellow pilgrim, let's stand for what we know to be true and right and quit backing down and compromising with the world. Friends, take advantage of this resource offer. Two books that will ignite a fire in you and stir you to live for God. Whatever Happened to the Power of God, It's Time to Rock the Boat. Two books together in one, plus the CD of today's broadcast. Just $20, postage paid. Yeah, it's a good deal, but it'll change your life. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And friends, if you can help us with an additional gift with our radio broadcast, if you can become a monthly supporter, do it. Today would be a great day. 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore for this special resource offer. My bottom line today, it is time for us to stir our hearts and say no more being a wimp, no more playing games, no more compromising, no more capitulating. I, by the grace of God, am going to take a stand for what is right, and in Jesus, I will not be moved.